time of God's own choosing, he came. When we the fight were losing, he came. Long before we knew him, when we were lost in sin, at the right time, at the best time, he came.
When the night was cold and dreary, he came. To his children worn and weary, he came. To bring us out of darkness, to make us his again. At the right time, at the best time, he came. To the great and to the lowly, he came. To the wicked, to the holy,
is always on time. Amen. Song number. Man, I am. Let's sing another song. Amen. No. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3 this morning. Philippians chapter number 3. As you find that in it, as you're able, please stand your feet as we read God's word this morning. Song number. Man, I will get it right. Help us. Does that mean I'm an old dog? Because you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Amen. Man alive, help us. And I am getting there. I'm way past there. All right. As the aged one on staff this morning. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 14 and 15 is where we'll read. I'll read this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 14 and 15. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Lord, we do love you. Thank you for the opportunity to get to hear from your word today, from your man of God. I do pray that you please be with Pastor Becker as he comes. I pray that you please fill him with your Holy Spirit power. Pray that you please be with us as we listen. May we have spirit-filled listening ears this morning. Pray that you move among us and with us, Father. If there is one that needs salvation this morning, I pray that they would humble themselves and come to Christ for salvation. We love you. Thank you again for all that you do for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. As you see, to keep your Bibles open. Again, I mentioned this in Sunday school, but can you believe that we are already at the end of the year? Can you believe that we've gotten to the end of the year, a couple days left, and that the Lord has not returned? And man, it could be any day. It could be before we leave the service today, but Jesus Christ is coming soon. But he's given us another year. Amen? What a blessing it is. As we look at these verses today, let's back up one verse as well to verse number 13, and I want to look at these again and read them one more time. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we look at these verses this morning, it makes me think, as you get to the end of the year, it's hard not to kind of think as you conclude a year and you prepare for the coming year. Now, in some ways, it's the change of a date on your calendar, whether it be a physical calendar. If you're one of our folks that likes the physical calendar and you literally flip the calendar, or our younger folks that it's all digital, whatever it may be, it's another day. But it's another day that the Lord has given to us, isn't it? And as the Apostle Paul is writing in the scripture here to this church at Philippi, and as he's really coming to the end of his life, and he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not attained, I've not reached any level." But he said, "But this one thing I do," and he gives them a challenge. And he says, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before." I want to preach a message this morning, very sensitive title, and the title is this: Move On. Move on. Anyone ever told you that? You just need to move on. And you're like, well, that's not very sensitive, is it? That's not very kind. But in our lives, like it or not, we need to move on. God has given us another day, another year. What a blessing that is. Christians, we don't have time to waste. We don't have a day to waste. We don't have a year to waste just to give it up and think, well, maybe next year. We don't have time to waste. We've got to move on. For some, maybe you're looking forward to it. Some, maybe you're holding on to the past. Some, but we're going to give a challenge on this morning. But someone ever said that to you, just need to move on. And it, again, may seem insensitive, but in life it is necessary to move on. Life has its challenges, its difficulties, its blessings. Don't look at all the negative. Some people look at all the negative. Oh, it's all been bad. It's all been... No, it hasn't. God's blessings always outweigh the negatives, the struggles, and the trials. But it's about your perspective. It's about where you're looking. It seems for some, the more that you want life to change, the more it stays the same. It seems that the ones that want it to stay the same, it's always changing. Right? I don't want it to change. Well, guess what? It changes, isn't it? You know, in life, there's always stages of life, and there's days, months, weeks, years, times. There's stages with family and church and things where it's always in a state of changing. But it's time that we're going to move on. Whether or not God gives us a couple more days to reach the next year, I still remember it was coming to the year 2000, Y2K. And I remember at some point in the youth group, I started to realize that none of our teenagers were even born in the year 2000. And then I started to really feel old then. But I remember as a teenager, we went to my grandparents' house because they lived out in the boonies. And you didn't know what was going to happen. And I don't know how much my parents got into it, but we stocked up on a few things, I'm pretty sure, and went out there to see what was going to happen. And guess what? The year changed, and not a whole lot happened. Anyway, we had a good time out there, but the year is coming, and it's changing. And it's time to move on. I want to give you a few thoughts from this today. To move on, first of all, you have to learn this about forgetting the past. As you look at this verse number 13, it says, "My brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You ever realize that things are in your past, you can't do anything about it? You can't change it. You can't go and relive 10 years ago, a year ago, yesterday. What's in the past is in the past, very deep. But what's happened has happened, and you can't live in the past. There's some that are always trying to live in the past, but you can't, and it's time to move on. Sometimes it's hard to forget the past. Sometimes it's hard to remember the past. You know what I'm saying? You're like, what did I do last week? Where was I even? You know, remember yesterday? And I'm like, not really. You know, sometimes the past, you know, it's hard to forget that event, whatever God allowed into your life. And sometimes in the past, it's hard to remember. Either way, you got to forget the past. Forgetting the past, first of all, don't live in the past of sin. Don't live in the past of sin. See, Paul had a past. Have you realized that everyone has a past? Everyone has sin in their past, no matter when you were saved, how long you've been in church, how long you've been saved. Everyone has a past. And guess what? There's things in all of our past that we would like to not remember. We'd like to not bring up. But there's too many people today that are living in the past of their sin. never getting over their sin, never getting victory over sin. As Christians today, we can't live in the past of sin. We all have a past where God has saved us from. And what a wonderful thing is, as a child of God, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You think about that with a new year. Maybe you're getting ready to start a new year and you're starting a new Bible reading schedule and workout schedule and eating schedule, and like your life is going to change January 1st. It might change January 1st, but I don't know about January 2nd and 3rd and so on. But there's something very nice about a fresh year, isn't there? We haven't ruined next year yet. And no one else has. Don't live in the past of sin. Why would we want to live in sin? The book of Romans chapter 6 says this: "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" As a child of God, you're saved, on your way to heaven, forgiven. Why do we want to live in our sin? Why do we want to go to the past of our sin and live therein any longer? See, some people that have been saved from their sin talk about their sin as almost the good old days. Right? That was fun. If we could only go back and go back to sin, to go back to bondage, to go back to the destruction that sin has in our lives. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't live in the past of sin. How do you do that? Confession. Maybe you can't get over the sin of your past because you've never truly confessed it and gotten it right with God. Confession. You know, there's something, again, about a fresh start of January 1st. You only have that fresh start if you end the year right. Getting a clean slate and saying, God, what's in the past? Forgive and help me to move forward so I don't bring the sin into the new year. Confession, repentance, holiness. As Christians, as a church, may we determine personally as families that we would start this new year right. Holy, clean, right before God. Don't live in the past of sin. Don't live in the past of disappointments. You ever been disappointed before? And I'm not talking about others, but yourself. Many times we blame others. Well, they disappointed me, and they disappointed me, and they disappointed me. Guess what? We all have that story. But guess what? I've disappointed myself more times than other people have disappointed me. Living in the past of disappointments. You can live in the past of, well, I tried before, and I just didn't do it, so I can't do it again. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Maybe someone let you down this year. Maybe somebody failed you. Maybe somebody hurt you this year. Don't let that ruin the next year. Don't let that ruin. You say, well, this hurt me in the past. Well, then get it right. Leave it in the past. Forgive. Let it go behind you and stop trying to carry the baggage and the bondage into the future in your life. Forgive. You say, but you don't know what they did to me. If Christ can forgive you of anything, can we not forgive others? Right? You say, well, you don't know what, I cannot forgive them of this. Forgetting those things which are behind. You say, but that's just going to let them get away with it. No, that's to forgive and to free you from carrying that bondage, that baggage for the rest of your life. Saying, you know what, I forgive. I forgive. Disappointments. Maybe, again, the disappointment of your own failures. Your own disappointments that you were going to do this and it never happened and you let yourself down. You failed. Guess what? We all fail. You got to get back up. Don't live in the past of your sin, your disappointments. Don't live in the past of your accomplishments either. I'm thankful for the blessings of this year, but I'm looking forward to blessings coming next year as well. You know what I was thinking about it today, driving to church. We were praying on the way here and praying for the Lord to bless our Sunday. What a blessing it is to end the year in church. You think about it again. So many times we focus on the negatives, the bad, the struggles, but how about focusing on the blessings? God blessed you this year. God has blessed you. Man, God has blessed us so much. Yes, there's struggles and difficulty and sorrow and all that comes, but there's blessings as well. You say, we're talking about forgetting those things that are behind. Yes, take some time at the end of this year and thank the Lord for the blessings of this year. But guess what? I'm looking forward to God's blessings in the future as well. How do you obtain God's blessings? By living for God. Living holy, living right, staying faithful, moving forward for the Lord. But guess what? I can't live in the past and say, well, yesterday I lived for God. I guess I don't have to live for God today. I lived for God last year. I don't have to live for God the next year, right? I've read my Bible once. I guess I don't have to read it ever again. Guess what? If it was good this year to do it right, I guess it's good for next year as well, isn't it? You want blessings for next year. Hey, the good you did this year, let's build on that for the coming year as well. Forgetting the past, forgetting those things which are behind, and then reaching forth into those things which are before. And then the Bible says, I press toward the mark. Forgetting what was behind, the past. Pressing forward. Your present. You know that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You ever think about that? I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. The only thing that we are guaranteed is the day that God has given to us, and we aren't even guaranteed the rest of today. Either the Lord returns or God calls you home. This could be your last day to live for God. Do you want your last day to be living for the world? Backing up, taking the day off? Or should it be pressing on? Reaching forth to those things which are before. These verses here are an analogy of running a race for the Lord. Running a race in this analogy of reaching forth unto those things which are before and pressing forward like a relay race of running to the next person and continuing on and going to the finish line. Pressing forward for God. To press is to pursue. To press forward. To reach forward for the Lord. Are you pressing forward for God? Are you pressing forward for God or are you backing up? May we not enter the coming year and taking your foot off the gas pedal for God. Backing up in your time with God. Backing up with church attendance. Backing up with serving God. May we be pressing forward for the Lord. James chapter 4 verse 13 says, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. It says this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. God has given you the gift of today. Don't waste it. The gift of your salvation. Gift of having God's word. A gift of a church, of a family, of health. The gift of what God has given to you. Press forward for God. Press forward for God. You say, but I used to do that. I don't have to do it anymore. Do you want to go into eternity facing the Lord and saying, well, I used to do stuff for the Lord, but now I'm just backing up. I put in my time. I clocked in. And it's my Christian retirement years where I don't have to live for God anymore instead of pressing on. Pressing on. You start that race and you get down to the starting line and you hear the gun go off and, man, you take off. What are you doing? You're looking ahead. You're looking to that finish line. You're looking to that ribbon crossed along the end of that race, and you want to finish right. You want to finish right. Each and every day, may that be our goal, to finish, to press forward, to reach ahead for what God has for you to do. What does God have for you to do this coming year? What is God's will and plan for you? See, I've always meant to do this for the Lord, but I've never gotten around to it. Well, why not now? Sometimes I think in the Christian life, we think that at some point this magical switch is going to be flipped. We're going to flip that switch and all of a sudden, boom, and we're super Christian. You ever been there before? And all of a sudden, this phase of life or this year or something's going to change and we're going to be a super Christian for God. Guess what? Pressing forward takes work. It takes work. It takes determination. It takes desire to live for God. Are you pressing forward for the Lord? There is much to be done for God's work. You notice that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Our time is short. Every day that passes, it's one day closer to meeting the Lord. Every day that passes, one day closer. I don't know the day, the hour, the time. No man knoweth that day or hour. But it's getting closer. We know that. Life is a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away, and it's gone. If this was the last day you had for God, are you pressing forward for the Lord? If this was the last day that you had, are you reaching forward and pressing toward the mark, and you're pushing ahead for the Lord? Are you backing up, taking it easy? The casual Christianity today is killing our churches. The casual Christianity today is killing the cause of Christ because we don't have dedicated soldiers and Christians for the Lord that aren't willing to press forward. Many Christians today are trying to become more like the world than more like God. Trying to see how close we can get to this world and how close we can get to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, pressing forward for the Lord. To move on, you got to forget the past of what maybe sin or disappointment or failures, maybe even accomplishments, and looking forward to the future, and then pressing forward the day that God has given to you today, to press forward with the present that you have. And then thirdly, I want to talk to you about looking forward to the Savior. Look at verse number 20, please, if you look down in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. It says this, For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for the Savior today? Are you looking for the Savior? Again, as Paul said in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was a race that he had to run, but there was a prize that Paul was looking to attain, and that was a prize from the Lord. He wasn't looking for a prize from this world. He wasn't looking for the praise of this world. He was looking for the prize that only comes from Jesus Christ. He was looking for a Savior. And as it says in verse number 20, it says, from whence also we look for the Savior. We see you got to put behind the past, forgetting the things which are behind, pressing forward today for the things that are before, but then in the future, looking for the Savior. Where's your direction today? Where's your vision today? Where are you looking? Are you looking for the Savior? Man, if you're looking for the Savior, that's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. For that hope of eternal life. Not a hope I have eternal life, but that earnest expectation of eternal life and meeting the Savior. How exciting that is. Looking for the Savior. That day is getting closer every day to meet the Savior. Every day looking closer, either that Jesus Christ returns and Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back to claim His own. He said, I will come again. I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a great promise from the Savior. Jesus Christ is coming, or He is calling us home. Either way, someday meeting the Savior. Are you looking to the Savior? See, if you're looking in this world, it's discouraging. It's difficult. Man, there's not a lot of hope. And as I mentioned the last hour, if your hope is only in the next inauguration, that hope lasts for a moment. I don't believe that one day or one person or one office is going to change our country and the outlook of where we're going. I believe it'll help. I'm looking forward to it. But guess what? Even more than that, I'm looking for the Savior. Looking ahead to the Savior. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. So many times our vision is so much horizontal. We're so focused on the things of life, and it's natural that our focus is on all the things and the work and the duties and the things we have today. But guess what? Let's get our vision up. Let's be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking for the Savior. Are you looking to Jesus today? Is your vision all right here? See, if you're running a race and your focus is looking all around you, looking back, you're not going to finish right. But if your vision as you run that race is you're taking off, going forward, and you're looking for the Savior, you're looking for that finish line. See, one day will be our last day. Are you ready to meet the Savior? This last Sunday of the year, maybe you'd say, I'm not sure if I'm ready to meet the Savior, because you don't know for sure that you're even saved and on your way to heaven. You don't even know that if today, if you took your last breaths here in a few moments and you stepped out of these buildings or get in your car and your life were to end, tragically for some reason, not trying to discourage you, but there is that possibility. Are you ready to meet the Savior? Do you know 100% sure that if you die today that you go to heaven? Again, our last service for the year, and I was praying and thinking, Lord, if there is anyone that's not saved today, would they get saved before the service ends? If there's anyone in this room that has a question, a doubt, a wonder, or a worry that you don't know for sure, if you stepped out from this life into eternity, that you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible says we should have confidence of eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you don't know that you have eternal life, don't leave the building today before you get it settled. Don't leave. Don't chance your eternity on another day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another chance. How many people have had that conviction of your salvation? I did that. Conviction of knowing I'm lost, know that I'm on my way to hell. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And say, well, how about tomorrow? Tomorrow I'll get saved. But what about this? What if tomorrow never comes? What if you're not given another chance? The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Looking unto Jesus, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a free gift of eternal life. The problem is that too many people are working to get saved, working to attain eternal life, trying to become a good person to earn the salvation, to get it or to keep it. Guess what? That's not salvation. Going to church doesn't get anyone saved. Being a good person doesn't get anyone saved into heaven. God's not going to let anyone come into heaven because you said, well, I'm a good person. I was raised in church and I had the titles, the positions, and the responsibility is God's going to say, I never knew you. Do you know that you're saved? I'm belaboring the point a little bit today for the reason of this. If you don't know you're saved today, would you trust in Him alone? You could ask Christ to save you right there in your seat. You could bow your head, close your eyes, and ask the Lord to save you. We'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure based on the Word of God. Maybe you say, well, that's arrogant. How can you say that you have the key, the answer to eternal life? Well, it's only because it comes from God. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not a single person will get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to be the full payment of salvation. 100% paid in full. He doesn't need your help to get it or to keep it. He's paid for it. It's a gift. You just have to receive it. Looking unto Jesus for your salvation. Looking unto Jesus for your service for this coming year. What does God have for you to do? Forgetting those things which are behind. There's some things this year, I'll be honest, I'm ready to put behind. And to move forward a new year, put it behind. Pressing toward the mark. Each and every day, pressing toward the mark. There's much to accomplish for the Lord each and every day. And then looking unto Jesus. Keeping your vision, keeping your eyes to the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning.